Delegated our niches and allowed us the privilege of being participatory in this place. It's good for us to be alive, alert and active, for it is in the Lord Jesus Christ we live, move, and have our being. And God has blessed us enough already for us to give Him praise for the rest of our days. Come on, smile at somebody if you will. If you don't have a mask on, smile.
Turning around for me.
Come on, look at somebody and tell them that. I've been going through. Trouble is all around, but He's
turning around for me.
Come on, tell them they need it.
He's turning around for me. It won't always be like this.
Come on.
God's gonna perfect concerning me. Sooner or later, oh.
Come on, stir it, turn it. Sooner or later, it's not gonna last always. He's what?
Sooner or later.
Come on, let me hear the congregation. Come on, sooner. Come on, a little louder now.
All right now, y'all sound.
He's doing what?
Turning my favor, oh, turning around for me.
Come on, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. There's a gray Honda parked across from the Life Center. Your alarm is going off. It was going off. A gray Honda parked across from the Life Center. Hebrews chapter 11. Thank God for this is the day that He has made. We are rejoicing and we are glad in it. Thank God for all that has transpired this weekend. We thank God for Friday night and Saturday. This is pink out week, and certainly we thank God for those who have led us in a marvelous way. We pray that you have been edified, encouraged in the Lord to fight on. See what the end's going to be. Amen. Certainly to the deacons and trustees who have devoted us, Reverend McCoy, Dr. Walker, Pastor Emeritus, and to all of you who make up this beautiful congregation at Lumber, it's good for us to be here. Amen. There are a lot of places you could have been, but the Lord deemed it necessary to bring you into the house of the Lord. Bless you to be in the house of the Lord once again. It's good to be here. It's great to be here. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23. Now I want you, after you are seated, to take out your gadgets and to like and share and help someone else receive a word from the Lord. It's all of our responsibility to make sure that the loss is reached with the gospel. Send this message to your unsaved friends, your saved friends. Not just one share, but share it two or three, four, five, six times. and help someone else receive a word from the Lord. It's very important, especially in our time, for the word of God to spread across the land and hit the ears of people. But Dr. Walker quite often quotes from Timothy that there's a day where they will not endure sound doctrine. Amen. And we don't want to tickle the ears, but we want you, along with all that you will send this message to be healthy in the Lord, because Satan has intensified and increased his attack. And we are in a day where a man's foe will be of his house. If you don't bring them children, later on, you won't want to even look at them. They'll be so influenced by Satan, you'll be locking yourself up in your own room, scared to come out, because Satan has intensified and increased his attack. We are in the last days. And the Bible says that there will be a great falling away. And you don't want to be a part of the falling away. You don't want to apostatize. You want to make sure you are in church and you are in the Lord. Amen. 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 Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Look at someone, if you will, and say, by faith.
By faith.
Look at another and say, by faith.
By faith.
Help me shout at the virtual audience, by faith.
By faith.
Amen. You may be seated. By faith. By faith. By faith. We've always and already come to realize that faith is more than the rehearsing of a concept in the mind. That faith is obedience unto God in all circumstances and in all consequences. That faith in God is confidence in God, conviction from his word, and a consciousness of God, of his creative and sustaining power. It is a consciousness of God's creative and sustaining power because God is our keeper. That you have to trust God in the midst of it all to keep you. Therefore, if you trust God to keep you, you obey God because you know God can keep you in the face of men. Faith is active. That is not just a conversation piece, but it's conduct of life. It's an action word. Action verb. It is what we do. It is what we wake up doing in response to God's word. Faith. Faith. That we live by faith, because faith is the only way we can please God. It doesn't matter how well you look, how good you sound, how well dressed you are. You may be impressive to men, but you're not impressive to God if you don't have faith. For God desires faith. He's pleased by your faith. Here it is in the text. The Hebrew people have found themselves pained and positioned as slaves in the land of Egypt because Joseph has died. And there arose a Pharaoh who knew not Joseph. For we are told this in Exodus chapter 1, around verses 8 through 16, and it says, "Now there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. And he said to his people, 'Look, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply. And it happen in the event of war that they also join our enemies and fight against us, and so go up out of the land.' Therefore, they set taskmasters over them to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh supply cities in Pithom and in Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were in dread of the children of Israel. So the Egyptians made the children of Israel serve with rigor, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar, in brick, and in all manner of service in the field, and their service in which they made them serve with rigor. The harder they afflicted them, the more they multiplied." Listen, when God is for you, regardless of what the enemy is doing toward you, regardless of what people are doing around you, God can multiply you right in the midst of your afflictions. That bad times don't hinder the people of God. That God's will cannot be stopped. God's will cannot be hindered or hampered under the auspices of an enemy. That God's will be done. The more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied. That's a message for us. Because Satan wanted to use painful periods, pandemic, to stop you, to hinder your growth. To heed and yield your advancement. But the harder he press, the more you increase. Because God is with you in the land. And if God be for you, he's more than the whole world against you. Pharaoh intensified the slavery, the work of the children of Israel, and the more he afflicted them, the greater they became. They're in the land. Joseph has died. They are slaves. God, by way of word, told Abraham that he would deliver them from bondage, and the time is approaching. And verse 23 captures the faith of Amram and Jochebed, the parents of Moses. Listen to me now, that parental faith is so important. Parents, you need to exhibit faith in the presence, in and before your children, that your faith will demonstrate what God is able to do in front of your children. Parental faith is parents trusting God in front of their children, waiting on God in front of your children, praying to God in front of your children, talking with God in front of your children, being positioned so that God can work miraculous things in your life in the presence of your children. That parents, you are positioned to show your children the reality of life in God through faith in Christ Jesus. And Moses, he was born at a trying time, a testing, tumultuous time. And here it is, his parents obeyed God regardless of the circumstances and consequences. See, some of you can't shout because you're waiting on conditions to get better. Some of you can't say nothing because you use that old past. God understands. As if God understands, being that he's going to alter his commandments for your life. Now, God is not going to alter his commandments for your life. He wants you to heed his command. They obeyed God in spite of the consequences and circumstances. It is in Exodus 1. Verses 15 and 16, that the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of whom the names were Shipho and Pua, and said, when you do the duties of a midwife for the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stool, if it is a son, then you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, then she shall live. Now the question I ask is, what will a girl or a woman do without a boy or man? That he knew how to get rid of the multiplication of the people of Israel. He says, kill all of the male children. Kill the boys. Kill the men. And there's a target out on boys and men. And there's a target out now on boys and men. See, you have to see Satan in the text, because Satan don't want our young boys to grow up to be men. Especially good men, respectable men, taught men, men who will make a contribution to society and to the kingdom of God. He says, kill all the male children. Get rid of them. Do away with them. And that decree is still out. Notice, by faith, Moses' parents preserved him. They preserved him. And the preservation of Moses' life was due to Amram's and Jochebed's act of faith in the prophecy made to their foreparent Abraham. For God said to Abraham that the children, your descendants, will be strangers in a country not their own, and they will be enslaved and mistreated 400 years. I thank God for setting a date, having what is called due time. You know, God's due time, when God is about to turn it around for you. Thank you, choir, that God is going to do something about your troubles, when God is going to do something about your sickness, when God is going to do something about your situation. He has what is called due time. His due time is such time that the church of old would say that God has due time, and trouble won't last always. You may be in trouble now, but you got to wait on God's due time. 400 years they would be mistreated, but I'm going to send an emancipator. They were nearing the 400 years. Matter of fact, they were about 320 years in. And here it is, Pharaoh set this decree to kill all male children. Now, what this is called is infanticide. It is not abortion, because abortion is killing in the womb. But this is infanticide. Infanticide is to kill a child between age of 1 day to a year. And he says, when you see these boys, these male children, while they're on the stool, he says, you take them and kill them. The text says that Moses' parents saw that he was a beautiful child. It states beautiful in Exodus chapter 2, verse 2, but in Acts chapter 7, verse 20, it deals with the word fair, that he was a beautiful child. The word beautiful means that there was potential. They saw potential in Moses. And every parent, when your child is in the womb and when your child is born, should know that there is potential. Don't kill, and don't let anyone else kill your child's potential. Don't you dare talk to your child or children any kind of way, putting them down, telling them that they are ugly, telling them that they are beaten up, and telling them that they will never amount to anything. Don't you kill the potential of your child. If anything, tell them about how much God loves them and how much he wants them to be a soldier in his army. Somebody here ought to be a witness that if you talk them up, they'll live up. But if you talk them down, they'll live down. They saw he was a beautiful child, so they saw the potential within Moses. But not only did they see potential, in Acts chapter 7, verse 20, they saw that he was beautiful, well-formed, and some scholars suggest that this means that he was beautiful to God. He was beautiful to God. Matthew Zimmer said that the beautiful to God is the beauty of holiness, that Moses' parents saw that he was to be preserved. He was to be kept. So they hid. They hid him while they were hiding him. Acts chapter 7 verse 20 says they nourished him. Which means that they brought him up with the predominant idea of forming the mind, they nourished him up. You know, when I was a boy, I don't hear much of it now, but when I was a boy, you know, they would talk about how parents need to read to their children in the womb. And they needed to rub the belly of the mother, mother rubbing her own belly, and the father rubbing the belly, and talk to the child. When I was coming up, that's what they said you needed to do. And what they were doing was trying to build the mind of the child. Mother sit around or laying around, she would just take a book and read to the child. Good books. Read the Bible to the child and pray over the child, because she wanted to develop the mind of the child. And then when the child was born, they were to hold the child near and dear the heart and read to the child and lay the hand on the child and pray for the child, because they wanted to mature the mind, form the mind. Now, parents want to know why the children are so bad. It's because you have so many worldly parents. Instead of forming the mind, they are distorting the mind by smoking while pregnant with the child, drinking while pregnant with the child, cursing and fighting, going to parties and clubs while they're pregnant with the child. And they want to know why the child has such a habit of smoking and fighting, drinking and doping. It's because while that child was in the womb, all they did was form the mind of the child to act contrary to God. They hid Moses from the government, because the government declared infanticide that he should die. They hid Moses from negative influences. Because all Hebrew people didn't honor God. They hid him. They hid him because they saw the favor of God on the life of Moses. Listen to me now. They hid him from government. They hid him from negative influences. Listen, when government is in opposition to the authority of God, you as a Christian are to obey the authority of God. You're not to be dangling somewhere in between. God's word should be the authority in your life, that even when government says disobey God, you don't disobey God. You obey God. So when civil authority sets itself to influence you against the will of God, you are to yield to the will of God. I don't care what kind of reasons they give you. Moses' parents hid him. They hid him because of their fear of God. Now, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. You know, people now don't want you to tell them anything because they feel they already know everything. But it's not your knowledge that advances you. It's the wisdom God gives you. And see, wisdom of God is greater than the knowledge of man. So he says that they feared God and they responded to God in obedience, that they hid. They hid Moses. They acted against the decree of Pharaoh because of their fear. Not only did they fear, the midwives feared. Pharaoh caught hold of what happened, or what was happening, and he said to them, "Why have you done such thing?" And the midwife says, you know, the Hebrew women are quick on the stool. In other words, by the time we make it there, they have already had the baby. They're quick on the stool. Now remember, infanticide is killing the child from day one to a year. So they could have taken the children or the babies out of the arms of the mothers and obeyed Pharaoh. But they didn't, because they feared God more than they feared Pharaoh. And they said to Pharaoh, "They are quick on the stool." Listen, it's not the issue of the lie. It's more so the issue of God's sovereign will. That they did not kill the male children because they feared God. Listen to me. You can't stop the will of God. Listen, God can use some messed up folks to do his will. He can take a crooked stick and hit a straight lick. God, God, you can't stop the will of God. That when God is for you, he's more than the whole world against you. And God was for this baby boy by the name of Moses, and his parents knew it. And they hid him for 3 months. I'm almost finished. So by faith, they disobeyed the decree of government. By faith, they preserved the life of Moses. And by faith, when they could hide him no longer, they depended on God to keep him. After 3 months, they put him in a basket pitched with slime, that it would float on water. And they put him in the basket to save him from water, from drowning in water. Now, this is a type of Noah experience, because when God got ready to preserve Noah and his family, he told him to build a big basket. And he says, pitch it within and without. It's called an ark. And he let it rain 40 days and 40 nights. And that big basket, the ark, floated on that water. And when Moses' parents put him in the basket, it was pitched in and out. And it floated on the water until Pharaoh's own daughter saw the basket. Listen, God can raise up your enemies to take you in and be a blessing to your life. He don't have to do it through church folks and Christians. God can make your enemy your footstool. She brought that baby into the palace and then fetched somebody to tend for him. And it was Moses' sister who said that I know where the boy's mother is, that she can nurse him up for you until the time he's weaned. So she brought the child back into Jochebed's house, and Jochebed taught Moses about the God of Israel, taught Moses about the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God of Isaac, Abraham, and Jacob is the God who has taken care of us. And he is the same God who's going to free us from this slavery. She was talking to the emancipator that God was raising up. Let me pause parenthetically to say to us, don't kill your children, because you never know how God want to use them. That God raised Moses up, and Moses one day while he was in the palace of Pharaoh saw an Egyptian soldier beating on a Hebrew slave, and something on the inside of him rose up. You know, when they put it on in you, when circumstances calls for it, it'll rise up in you. He went out and slew the Egyptian soldier, and he fled for his life. And while he was in the wilderness for 40 years, God set a bush on fire, but the bush was not consumed. God knows how to get your attention. He set a bush on fire, and when Moses was tending his father-in-law's sheep, and he looked over there and watched the bush, and he saw that it was not consumed, and then the voice of God came out of that bush, and Moses, he was summoned to go back into Egypt and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Thank God for Moses' parents, because what they put in him, it would lead him in his obedience unto God. Y'all ought to help me close this sermon union style. You ought to look at somebody and tell them, put it in them. And when God gets ready to use it, it's already in them. You need to tell them about how much the Lord loves them. You need to tell them about how God want to use them, how God's hand is upon them, and how God's power is on the inside. You need to shake somebody's hand one more time and tell them, put it in them. And if you put it in them, God will use it. Moses went back to Egypt, and he told Pharaoh what God told him to tell him. And one day God, he sent the Israelites out of the land, but there was a sea before them and Pharaoh's army behind them. And God says, don't panic, don't worry, my hand and my favor is upon your life. What do you have in your hand? He stretched out the rod, and the waters parted and stood attention as Israel walked across on dry land. Can I ask you my question? And then I'm going to my seat. Ain't God all right Won't he make a way for you if you know he's all right? And he has made a way for you. You ought to stand on your feet and slip your hand in your neighbor's hand and look him in the eyes and tell him, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, I wouldn't be up in here, up in here. And because I'm up in here, God is all right with me. He walks with me. He talks with me. He tells me that I am his all. Thank God for faith. Faith fast forward to a hill called Calvary. Jesus was marched up the Via Dolorosa. He let him nail his hands and rivet his feet, his head in the locks of his shoulders. He gave up the ghost and he died out on Calvary. Thank God that he wasn't defeated. He wasn't defeated. He wasn't defeated. Because he said, if you take my life early Sunday morning, I'm going to get up again. Somebody knows Sunday morning he got up. Come on, look at somebody and say, Sunday morning he got up. He got up. Yes, he got up. Yes, he got up. With all power in his hand. By faith, we obey God regardless of circumstances, consequences. Listen, I don't care how much they try to express and portray on TV that it's all right to kill babies. Obey God. There's potential in every life. They obey God. Against the decree. And Moses was raised, unbeknownst to himself, to be God's hand of deliverance, to bring God's people out of bondage. 80 years after his birth, 40 in Pharaoh's house, 40 in the wilderness. God summons him to go back in and speak to the man who served as his grandfather in Egypt. Tell him to let my people go. Now, he could have lived in the palace like Joseph and enjoyed being high in command, but he chose rather to suffer in obedience unto God. Listen, we are in a day where we are pressured to do what everybody else is doing. Ignore God. That's the pressure. God understands. God will give you grace. We're living in a day where people have forsaken the way of God. And it seems that it's okay because, you know, in the world, right seems to win over, or wrong seems to win over right. Asaph said, I saw it differently when I entered into the house of God, that the truth was revealed to me, that we win. In obedience unto God, we win. We win by faith. And the truth is, we have already won. We're not fighting for victory. We are fighting from victory. Listen, I want to encourage you to stay with God. Parents, get your children back in here. Get them back involved. Stop making up excuses. Get them back in the choir. Get them back in the youth ministries. Because whatever you're going to do for God, you better do it now. You allowing them to ignore God, and then when they get a little older and you having trouble with them, you want to come see the preacher. You done told them to ignore the preacher, ignore preaching all of their young life. And you get to school and nobody can do nothing with them. You come in the office talking about reverend. You listen, there's no such thing as instant maturity. It's a process. That's why the Bible says train them up. Get them back in the junior deacon ministry. Get them back in the usher ministry. The youth choir. Soon we'll have children church and all of that. But you need to get your children involved. Because Satan busy. I don't know if you watch the news, but these young folks killing one another. Killing season and old folks alike. Everybody in the path. You better do as Moses' parents did. Hide your children from the world. And because a whole lot of people is saying it, doesn't make it right. Don't worry about popular opinion. Some of you may be angry with me now because I told you about abortion and infanticide. Don't bother me. Don't write me no letter if you ain't gonna put your name on it. Because I'm gonna fast forward to the bottom, and if your name is not on it, I'm not gonna read it. We got to get a hold of our children now and help save many people alive, even in the midst of a pandemic. Listen, the doors of the Lord's house are ajar. If you're here today and you're not saved, give the Lord your life today. Give him your life today. By simply believing in your heart, confessing with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. Secondly, if you're here, and the Lord has laid this church on your heart as a family of faith. Come. Come receive your family as we receive you. Thirdly, if you're here and you're backslid, the altar of the Lord is open to you. As you come and you pray and ask God to restore unto you the joy of your salvation. I discovered that you can be saved and not feel saved. That you can be saved and not enjoy salvation. I enjoy being saved. I enjoy God. I enjoy worship. I enjoy praise. I enjoy hearing his song sing. And hearing his word preached. Come today if you're not saved. Come today if you're in need of a church home. Come today if you need to be restored. Come. 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 Thank you. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. God bless your heart. Quickly before we dismiss, the next three Sundays, the 5th, 1st, and 2nd Sunday, we have one service, 10:30. We have Sunday school, starting at Sunday school, regular Sunday school time, for the next three Sundays. 5th Sundays, we normally have one service anyway, but it'd be a little earlier, but we're not going to be outside. We're going to be in the sanctuary. First Sunday service, we have family communion time. We have one service. But on the second Sunday, I have a friend and a brother from Uganda, Africa, Victor Victorious. And I've gone there, spent 10 days with him in Africa on evangelistic missions trip. Matter of fact, my friend and brother, Dr. Lee Brand, we shared that experience together. His mother has passed this morning about 3 o'clock. So be in prayer for Dr. Lee Brand Jr. He's been here before. Now he's pastoring in Tennessee, but pray much for him and his family. But their orphanage has been burned to the ground by Muslims. There's a strong Muslim influence and strong Muslim opposition in Uganda, Africa. When we traveled, we had to travel at night. And we preached at night. We did conferences in the day, but preached at night. Now we baptized over 500 people at one time. But there's a great need. Now I've talked with Dr. Smith Moore, and he has helped him some years ago, and he has recently helped him some weeks ago. And I put us under obligation. This time that he gave Dr. Victor Victorious $2,000. And I said to him, I said, well, it shouldn't be a problem for us at New Bethlehem to do $2,000 or more to help rebuild the male dormitory for the orphans in Uganda. And this is how I want us to do it. You know, when you have good people, you tend to brag and you tend to say things, and I know we can. I want you to bring whatever gift the Lord, not now, but on the second Sunday, whatever gift the Lord lays on your heart to give toward this rebuilding of the male dormitory for the orphans. It's terrible over there. You know, when I went, I left all of my clothes, all but what I had on. I left every dime I had over there, because little children were coming to the car door begging for us to let the window down so they can sell us a piece of gum for a penny or a nickel. So many children have lost parents to AIDS. And so I want us to be a part of their rebuild process, their rebuild plan and initiative. And I know we can. So whatever the Lord lay on your heart, you know, we won't just count it and give it to him. All right? We want to make sure that we at least do 2,000. Okay? So we want to do that now. I got one more announcement. We have committee in place for Christmas. We are nearing November. And y'all know what we do for November and December for Christmas. We give toward those who are in need around the church. We have been blessed to give over $15,000 to the people around the church. $5,000 to St. Jude and $5,000 to the Ronald McDonald House. I want us to do that again this year to help somebody. We're giving some money to Miss Susan G. Coleman just in a few days or so. So, you know, we're about reaching out and helping somebody. Amen. All right. Y'all got it? Can y'all help us do that? All right. All hearts and minds clear? Father, we thank you for what our ears have heard, eyes have seen, hearts have received. Thank you for being God in the midst of us. Be with us, Lord, as we go from this place. Shelter us and keep us as you have done in bringing us in. Have your way in us and through us for your glory and our good. Now your grace and mercy, the communion of the Holy Spirit, rest, rule, and abide with us now, henceforth, and forevermore. And every heart say amen. Be blessed today. Love you to life.